إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، فإن خير الكلام كلام الله، وأحسن الهدي هدى محمد صلوات الله وسلامه عليه، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل دلالة في النار. أما بعد، all praise is due to Allah. We laud Him, and in Him we seek help, and in Him we seek forgiveness. And we seek the refuge of Allah from the mischiefness of our souls and the wrongdoings of all of our deeds and actions. Whoever Allah guides, no one can lead them astray. And whoever Allah leaves to be left astray, no one will be able to guide them. And I publicly bear witness that there is nothing worthy of worship as a deity except Allah. He's alone, He has no partners. And I also bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam is His abd and His rasul, His slave and His messenger. O you who believe, fear Allah with just fear, with the appropriate fear, with the fear that is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and do not die except as those who say La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah, except as Muslims. O human beings, fear your Lord who created you from one soul, the Prophet Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, wa ala nabiyyina kadhalik, and from that one soul his mate, Hawa, Eve, and from the two of them countless men and women spread abroad in multitudes. Remember the wombs that bore you, keep the family relations among you, and remember that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala surely indeed is a raqib over you. O you who believe, fear Allah and say that which is appropriate and that which is correct, which is La ilaha illallah. Allah will repair your deeds for you and forgive you of your sins. And whoever obeys Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam has achieved the greatest of all successes and victories. As to what follows, surely the best speech is Al-Qur'an al-Kareem, the Book of Allah. And the best guidance is the guidance, the Huda and the Sunnah of Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. And the worst of all things in this deen of ours, this noble deen of Al-Islam, are newly invented matters. For every newly invented matter in this deen is an innovation. And every innovation without doubt is a going astray. And every astray will find the person who innovated or practiced that innovation in the hellfire. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in His book, of which He calls Al-Qur'an al-Majid, and also He calls Al-Qur'an al-Aziz, and also He calls Al-Qur'an al-Azim. He says in His book, شَهِدَ اللَّهُ أَنَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا هُوَ وَالْمَلَائِكَةُ وَأُولُو الْعِلْمِ قَائِمٌ بِالْقِسْطِ La ilaha illa huwa al-aziz al-hakim. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, the English translation, Allah Himself bears witness that there is nothing worthy of worship as a deity except Him. And so do the angels and those who have deep knowledge. And that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who maintains all of this that we see in adl and in qist. He maintains it in justice and equity and in fairness. Without wronging any of His slaves, there is nothing worthy of worship except Allah. He is Al-Aziz Al-Hakim, the extremely mighty and extremely wise. In this ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, among other things, is showing us that He Himself has knowledge. And that He bears witness to the fact that he is the one who has to be worshipped with no partner. He also says in this ayah that the angels have knowledge because they bear witness that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the only one that deserves to be worshipped. And those who have deep knowledge of this religion, they also bear witness that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who is to be worshipped. Brothers and sisters in Islam, this ayah shows that knowledge is very, very important. That without the knowledge of Islam, the human being will be lost. Without the knowledge of Islam, we won't be able to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that knowledge that we have gained from the Quran, given to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and then given to the Sahaba, radiallahu anhum ajma'een, is that knowledge called al-ilmu al-nafi', which is beneficial knowledge. This knowledge that was given to the companions of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is a knowledge that will gain the people success in this life and in the next. It is that knowledge that will enable the person to be able to answer those questions in the grave. And no other knowledge will be able to give them that ability, that fortunate ability to be able to say when the angels say to them, interrogating them, which is a tremendous event, من ربك, who is your Lord? ما دينك, what is your deen? من نبيك, who is your prophet? It is that علم النافع, that beneficial knowledge that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent down in his book. He gave to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to teach those people who were the first ulama of Islam, the Sahaba of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Unfortunately, we live in a time of fitna. And this fitna, of which we mentioned some of it last week, is getting worse and worse. And there's not going to be a time that's going to be better for a long time, as the Prophet indicated in many of his hadith that we find in the book of fitn, of afflictions and trials and tribulations, found in Al-Bukhari's collection, and in Imam Muslim's collection, and also Ibn Majah's collection, and also in the book written by Al-Bukhari called Al-Adab al-Mufrad, we find that knowledge is something that is going to be a punishment on the Muslim if they don't have it, and we also find that taking away the knowledge from the people is a punishment from Allah and is a sign. It is a sign of the last days. As the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, من أشراط الساعة أن يرفع العلم أن يرفع العلم ويثبت الجهل. That one of the signs of the hour is the removal of knowledge and the widespreading of ignorance. The removal of knowledge and the widespread of ignorance. So this, brothers and sisters in Islam, gives us some clues on how important it is to, number one, get beneficial knowledge of the Quran and of the Sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as the companions of the Messenger of Allah understood it and practiced it. And it also tells us that the knowledge is going to be removed and that ignorance is going to prevail, and that knowledge is going to be removed not by Allah removing the knowledge, but as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in another hadith on the authority of Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As radiallahu ta'ala anhu, where he said that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَقْبِضُ الْعِلْمِ. Allah will not remove the knowledge. انْتِزَاعًا يَنْتَزِعُهُ مِنَ النَّاسِ. That Allah will not remove the ilm, the knowledge from the people, but he will remove the knowledge from the people by removing the ulama. He will not remove the knowledge from the people, but he will remove it, how? بِقَبْضِ الْعُلَمَاء. لَا يَقْبِضُ اللَّهِ الْعِلْمِ بِقَدْبِ الْعُلَمَاء. He will not remove the knowledge, but he will remove it by removing the ulama. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to show us how serious this time is, to show us that we need to be attaching ourselves to the ulama, after he said that he will not remove the knowledge from the people, that he will remove the ulama, meaning he will make them die, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then said, to show us how serious it is. Hatta إِذَا لَمْ يَتْرُكْ عَالِمًا, until the point that there won't be any ulama. And the other narration by Ibn Majah says, إِذَا لَمْ يُبْقِ عَالِمًا, to the point where there won't remain any ulama. What does this tell us, brothers and sisters? This tells us that for the Muslims living in America and the Muslims living in those places where the Arabic language, which is the key to the Quran and the Sunnah, is not prevalent, that someone from among us must become an alim. We have to become ulama. If you look statistically, brothers and sisters, at the Muslim situations in America, you'll find that among the Muslims, we have more doctors and more engineers than other ethnic groups or other religious groups. There are more doctors and engineers among the Muslims, statistically, than any other ethnic and religious group. And you can find this if you go to the library and check the statistics. There are more doctors, engineers, and scientists among the Muslims in America and in England and in Canada than any other ethnic group and any other religious group. But how many ulama do we have in America? How many real scholars do we have in America? How many homegrown Muslims, indigenous, are hafiz of Quran? And for myself, being a Muslim 22 years in America, I only personally know, which doesn't mean it's only that number, 5 American Muslims who have memorized the Quran. 5 out of all the Muslims, 7 to 10 million Muslims in America, 5 American homegrown indigenous Muslims that have memorized the Quran, male and female. How many scholars do we have in America from the American Muslims, or the Pakistani Muslims, or the Indian Muslims, or whatever Muslim in America? How many Muslims do we have in this country that have memorized not Al-Bukhari, not Sahih Muslim, not Abu Dawood, not Tirmidhi, not Ibn Majah, not Al-Nasa'i, not Al-Muwatta, not Al-Darimi, not Al-Daylami, not Al-Dullabi, not Al-Shafi's Musnad, not Imam Ahmed's Musnad? How many Muslims have memorized not Riyad al-Salihin or Bulugh al-Maram? How many Muslims have memorized, without the chain of narrations, 40 hadiths of Imam al-Nawawi? How many, brothers and sisters? How many Muslims right now, American Muslims, that we can go to and rest and feel comfortable that we can get a fiqh decision from that Muslim with real knowledge, with knowledge that will make us successful in this life and the next? So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he has told us that Allah will not take away the ilm, but rather he will take away the ulama. And unfortunately today, brothers and sisters, as the Prophet has said, until there will remain no alim, hatta إِذَا لَمْ يُبْقِ عَالِمًا, until there comes to the point where there won't be any ulama. And unfortunately, brothers, this is the case. If we look around the world right now and we were to count the real al-ulama al-mujtahidun al-rabbaniyun, the people who are really ulama, not the fake ulama, not the counterfeit ulama, not the false ulama, whom the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, فَضَلُّوا وَأَضَلُّوا, they themselves are astray, and they're causing people to go astray. As the Prophet said in the same hadith, اتخذ الناس, the people are going to take رؤوسا جهالا فسئل بأفتوا بغير علم فأفتوا بغير علم فضلوا وأضلوا. Allah is going to remove the ulama, the real scholars, and then the people are going to take in their place as their imams and their leaders ignorant people, جهالا, ignorant people. Why? It's because we don't have people who are studying Islam as a science, and we don't have people who are studying Islam as a discipline, and because we don't have people paying attention to the ilm al-shari'i, to ahkam al-shari'iyah, to the Islamic rules and regulations. We don't have people who are devoting their time someone among us has to be a scholar, or all the Muslims are sinners. Because having this knowledge of Allah and the Book and the Sunnah and Islam is farad kifaya, meaning somebody among us has to be an alim. So Allah's Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to show us how serious it is, he said that Allah is going to remove the ulama and going to replace the ulama with people like me and people like you to have ignorance. And they are going to cause people go astray because they don't make fatwas without knowledge, and they themselves are going to be astray. They will be astray, and they will cause the people to go astray. This is a serious time we live in, brothers and sisters, and Satan is fooling us and tricking us to make us think that we should not depend on the ulama, that we should depend on the seekers, on the callers to Islam, on the students of Islam, on the people who have 5, 6, 10, 20, 30 years of knowledge, of study. When the real ulama, like Abdul Aziz ibn Baz, in his 80s, like the real people, like Sheikh Muhammad Nasruddin al-Albani, in his mid-80s, like Sheikh Uthaymeen, approaching his 70s, like Sheikh Mukbil, approaching his 70s, like Muhammad, like Vajir bin Shah, from Sindh, from India, Rahimahullah, who Allah just took 2 years ago, and most of us probably don't even know that he even existed. We didn't even know he existed, let alone knowing who he is. Like Sheikh Muhammad Aman al-Jami from Ethiopia, whom Allah took in the same month as the Sheikh from India, and we don't even know who he is. And we don't know Sheikh al-Albani, and Sheikh bin Baz, and Sheikh Jibreen, and Sheikh Rabia, and Sheikh Mukbil. And they're getting older and older and sicker and sicker, and Allah is going to remove them and replace them with ignorant people, and you're going to go to them for the affairs of your life, for the affairs of your dunya. You're going to go to them for your marital affairs and your affairs of divorce and for your legal rulings, whatever they are, and they're going to give you verdicts without knowledge. They themselves are astray, and they're going to cause others to go astray. Allah's Prophet, brothers and sisters in Islam, has warned us of the fitness, of the afflictions, of the trials and tribulations that Allah is plaguing us with. And part of the reason is because of our sins. Part of the reason is because of the sins of the Muslims. As we mentioned last week, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is punishing us by putting tyrannical oppressive leaders over us and taking away the ulama. Brothers and sisters in Islam, we need to become acquainted with the ulama. Or at least, for those of us whose language is not Arabic, we need to become more acquainted with those books from the ulama that have been translated from Arabic to English. Some of them, many of them, that you see right in front of this masjid right now on the table, these are the books of the ulama. No more complaints for us. I don't know Arabic. I can't read Arabic. I don't understand Arabic. If you don't know Arabic, the book is right here in front of you, in front of the masjid on the table on the sidewalk. And you leave and you walk out and you call somebody like me to give you a verdict. You call somebody like these people running around the United States giving verdicts that have no real knowledge. Brothers and sisters, if this is not a punishment, it might be a curse on us that Allah is going to remove these ulama. And it's getting closer and closer because the real ulama are dying off. And he's going to replace them with juhal, with people who are ignorant. People who are ignorant. People who are ignorant of the ahkam shari'iyah. And they are astray, and they're going to cause you and me to go astray if we don't stick to those people whom the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said the superiority of the ulama over you and I, fadlul alim ala al-abid, that the superiority of the ulama, a scholar, over the regular worshiper is the superiority of the full moon over the rest of the stars. And in another narration, the superiority of a scholar over you is like my superiority, the Prophet said, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, over you. It's like my superiority over the least of your worshippers. Brothers and sisters, this time that we're living in is very, very serious. and it's going to get worse. If we don't attach ourselves to the ulama, the people with real knowledge, not the people who are making verdicts from what they don't know, not the people who are making verdicts without knowledge, but the people who have been endowed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bring us the real haq, the truth of the religion of Islam, if we don't attach ourselves to them and take our verdict from them, then we are going to be astray, and Allahu musta'an. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن ولا وبعد. Brothers, inshallah, if you can move a little closer to give some room for the brothers in the back, inshallah. We have a very beautiful statement and an athar on sahih, an authentic narration from one of the sahaba of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he says in a hadith that is collected on athar that is collected by Imam al-Bukhari in his book called Al-Adab al-Mufrad. Listen to the words of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, and this hadith is from him, but in reality it's from the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because when you hear the wording of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, there's no way he can make this statement unless he got it from the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, إِنَّكُمْ فِي زَمَانٍ. You people are in a time, you're living in a time. كَثِيرٌ فُقَهَاؤُهُ. كَثِيرٌ فُقَهَاؤُهُ. You're living in a time of which the scholars are many. The fuqaha are many. He's talking to the sahaba of the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, after the Prophet's death. You're living in a time, كَثِيرٌ فُقَهَاؤُهُ, that the scholars are many. قَلِيلٌ خُطَبَاؤُهُ, and the khatib standing on the minbars giving lectures are few. The speakers, the lecturers are few. In your time right now, O Sahaba, you're living in a time where the scholars are many and the speakers are few. قَلِيلٌ سُؤَالُهُ, and the people who ask questions are also few in number. They're also few in number. كَثِيرٌ مُعْتُوهُ, and there's a lot of people that can answer those questions. You're living in a time where the scholars are many, the speakers are few, the questioners are few, and the people who are able to give you the correct answer according to true Islamic knowledge are many. وَالْعَمَلُ قَائِدٌ لِلْهَوَى وَالْعَمَلُ فِيهِ قَائِدٌ لِلْهَوَى, and you're living in a time of which actions are the driver or the dictator of desires. You're living in a time, O Sahaba, where there are people, meaning you Sahaba, ourselves, the Sahaba, the Messenger of Allah, are those people, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whose actions are the ones who put their desires in the back seat of the car, and their actions are the ones who steer and direct that person. And then Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhu said, وَسَيَكْتِي مِنْ بَعْدِكُمْ زَمَانٍ, and there's going to come a time after you, قَلِيلٌ فُقَهَاؤُهُ, there's going to come a time after you where the scholars are going to be few. كَثِيرٌ خُطَبَاؤُهُ, and the speakers, the lecturers, the callers, the khatib are going to be many. كَثِيرٌ سُؤَالُهُ قَلِيلٌ مُعْتُوهُ, and it's going to be a lot of questions, and it's going to be few people to answer those questions. There's going to be few people to give you the correct answer. وَالْهَوَى فِيهِ قَائِدٌ لِلْعَمَلِ, and you are going to find after you a time, which we're living in right now, where the desires is the driver, the desires and the lust is the one that's steering the car, and the actions are in the back seat. That which steers your actions are desires. This is the time we're living in, brothers and sisters. We're living in a time where the scholars are few, And the speakers and the lecturers are many. And the speakers and the lecturers are the ones who people are ranting and raving to go see and hear. So-and-so is speaking tomorrow. So-and-so is coming to town. So-and-so is speaking over here. So-and-so just gave a lesson. So-and-so, so-and-so, call up so-and-so. And that person is one of the juhalat. He's one of the ignorant ones. Whereas the ulama, the real ulama of Islam, we don't even know their name. We don't even know where they live. We don't even know where they took their knowledge. We don't know anything about them. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to remove them. Can you imagine, brothers and sisters in Islam, living in the time of Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, the Imam of Ahl al-Sunnah wal Jama'ah of his time, and going to Dawud Adib or someone else like me? Can you imagine Imam Malik, Imam Abu Hanifa, living in Brooklyn, and you go to Dawud Adib or someone like me for information? Can you imagine Al-Barbahari or Al-Bayhaqi or Imam Al-Hakim or Al-Zahabi living in Queens or Staten Island? Or Philadelphia, or even California, all the way on the other side of America, and you call some ignorant person for a fatwa? You call some ignorant person for your deen? Your deen is your life, and your life is your deen. How can you take from somebody ignorant, who has no knowledge, who hasn't studied with the ulama? This is a very serious time we're living in, brothers and sisters. So if we don't pay attention to from where we're taking our ilm, if we are not very careful on whom we take our knowledge from, when it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that endows the Prophet's companions with keen insight, the best of people after the Prophet, and then after them the Tabi'un, and then the Tabi'in, the best of the generations, those three generations, how is it that when a verdict or an opinion or an explanation of the Quran comes to you, you will reject the state? How can you accept the fatwa or the meaning of a verse from someone living today, whether it's Arabia or otherwise, when Abdullah ibn Mas'ud has given you the verdict, when Ali ibn Abi Talib has told you the meaning of the verse, as Ibn Taymiyyah, Shaykhul Islam, rahimahullah, rahmatun wasi'ah, said, when the companions of the Messenger of Allah agree on a verse, it is not permissible for anyone to come with another opinion. And if the companions are divided on the meaning of a verse, meaning some of the companions said it means this, and some of the companions said it means that, it is haram. La yajuz alayna. It's not permissible for us to take a third opinion of that ayah. Because why? It's because the companions of the Messenger of Allah were the ulama in everything, in aqidah, in hadith, in fiqh, in Arabic language, and they were the best of people after the prophets and messengers of Allah, salawatullahi wa salamu alayhim ajma'in. So brothers and sisters, we need to read from the literature of the real people of knowledge. We need to read the literature from the real people of knowledge. We need to read the literature of the real people of knowledge living today and of the past. And we should ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us beneficial knowledge. And we ask you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to make us have hearts that are fearful. And we ask you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to make us have enough that is satisfied. And we ask you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to let us have a dua that is answered. And we ask you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to let us have beneficial knowledge, knowledge that is going to benefit us in this life and the next. وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.